Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
UnitedHealthcare nurse Crystal checked in on a patient.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell in her voice that she was struggling.
Crystal knew she needed help.
And I knew that this is very serious. This is like septic. This is life-threatening.
And she knew just what to do.
And I called the hospital and said, she's coming in. Here are her labs.
And got her the help she needed.
I see my role at UnitedHealthcare as a life-saving role.
Hear more stories like Crystal's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Allen on the sideline, it's Grunkemeyer. On a fourth and three, he takes off. Grunkemeyer is popped short. Northwestern gets there again. Aiden Hubbard with a fourth. And that'll do it. Three touchdown underdogs.
You're listening to Score Evenings, weeknights 6 to 9.
It is the evening. It is a weeknight. I'm Anthony Heron on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Got my guy Studs, Adam Studzinski, on the ones and twos for me this evening. Final hour coming at you here. Been talking some Bears. Been talking to some Cubs. Let's have a little college football chatter here. Appreciations to Fox Sports for that call. I believe that was my guy Connor Onion, if I recognize that voice correctly. Northwestern took down Penn State. And in sort of eerie fashion, the last game that Lovie Smith lost as Illini head coach, Northwestern took him down. And the last game that James Franklin lost as Penn State head coach, Northwestern took him down in that one as well. So Northwestern has a bit of a Grim Reaper vibe to him. I saw someone posting about that on social media earlier. And now there's going to be ripple effects all throughout college football with this Penn State job being open at the moment. And first off, for James Franklin and all the winning that he's done during his career in State College, he was in the midst of season 12 and frequently 10 win season after 11 win season after 13 win season over and over again. And we've kind of gotten to a point in the sports populace, and especially with college football fans, where these things get discounted as not being significant with those accomplishments of having seasons of double digit wins for certain programs, if you didn't win at least a conference championship, if not a national championship, as though there's not only going to be one team that does that at the end of every season. But James Franklin, he's won one Big Ten title. It's been about a decade since he had done that in leading Penn State football. And last season, in the first year of the expanded college football playoff, it was the first year that he made the college football playoff with Penn State, got that done, and was just an eyelash away from an appearance in the national championship game of Marcus Freeman and Notre Dame, apparently Studs' adopted favorite team, were able to take him down. Late interception that Drew Aller throws, and the Irish went on to appear in the national championship game and eventually lost to Ohio State. But what fascinates me a bit about Penn State, and there are a number of other programs who sort of find themselves in this position, where the expectations seem a bit outsized maybe for what the actual history of your program is. And I'm not sure that everyone recognizes that to some extent, because Penn State is viewed as this blue blood of college football, but there's really been one figure, one coach, who before James Franklin did virtually all the winning in the history of Penn State football, and that was Joe Paterno. And in the 40-plus years he was Penn State's coach, he won two national championships. Won a bunch of other games since then, of course, as well. And then after the scandalous end to Joe Paterno's time as Penn State head coach, then Bill O'Brien took over for a couple of years and sort of, you know, kept the ship afloat, steadied the program a bit. And then James Franklin came in and took over and became the second winningest coach in the history of Penn State football. But the main bugaboo for James Franklin was that he couldn't beat the Buckeyes. Ohio State, aside from one season, basically, took down Penn State on a consistent basis, usually in highly competitive games, and it would come down to like a goal line stand or a special teams block or an interception by a defensive end or something like that that would end up deciding the game for the Buckeyes. And it's similar to kind of like Mark Richt, for anyone who's familiar with like with Georgia Bulldogs football during the time Mark Richt was there, where they would always be kind of that one win away from being a national championship caliber team or an SEC title team. And then they finally decided to move on from Mark Richt. And then they hired Kirby Smart, brought him in off of Nick Saban's staff. And now they have reached that next echelon and have become one of these teams that has won multiple national championships and is constantly in that conversation. So now Penn State moving on from James Franklin, and there's several coaches. This is more coaches fired in the first half of the college football season than I can remember. I mean, from prominent jobs. Oklahoma State. Now, how prominent is it right now? Well, Mike Gundy hasn't won as much the last couple of years, but for a minute, he had that thing rolling. You know, Oklahoma State is open. UCLA is open. And to have these jobs available, now the conversation about some of these other teams, like whether or not Matt Rhule would be willing to leave Nebraska now that he's in year three with the Cornhuskers, and whether or not we would see Matt Rhule make the decision to leave the Cornhuskers and go back to his alma mater. Matt Rhule was a walk-on football player at Penn State. Matt Rhule is very good friends with the current athletic director at Penn State, Pat Kraft. They're still very close. And as the Nebraska media was asking Matt Rhule about it this week, he didn't necessarily say, I wouldn't go to Penn State. He talked glowingly about how much he loves that job, the opportunity that that might present for him, and his relationship with Pat Kraft, and how he and his wife love State College. But he also said that he loves his current job at Nebraska, and his wife loves being there, and those types of things. But this Penn State opening will have some ripple effects throughout the sport. Marcus Freeman, Notre Dame head coach, is one of the names that folks have discussed as far as the potential for Penn State pursuing him as their next head coach. We've seen in short fashion the success that Marcus Freeman has had, not only on the field in leading the Irish to a national championship game appearance in the first expanded college football playoff last year, the first 12-team playoff, but also, frankly, he's made Notre Dame kind of likable in a way that they haven't been for quite some time. Notre Dame's always had a lot of fans, but the issue they've run into is that they've been so good, their fans, including a bunch of my in-laws, have been loud and boisterous and insufferable for decades, for generations. And you know who you are, you insufferable Notre Dame fans. You're all out there. It has been difficult. So folks have grown tired, kind of like Duke basketball. And Notre Dame has been a big deal for a lot longer than Duke's been a big deal in basketball. But they turned into one of those teams that people kind of love to hate for a little while because they just have grown sort of tired of hearing about Notre Dame and watching Notre Dame and the Irish having their own TV deal and the Irish being independent and not joining a conference. And it just turned them into this brand that it felt like as many folks love to hate Notre Dame as there are people who just legitimately love Notre Dame. But now here comes Marcus Freeman, and a few short years into his time leading the Irish, they've become rather likable in a way that I haven't seen Notre Dame be viewed as likable in quite a while. But Penn State's opening, a lot of folks believe that they will pursue Marcus Freeman. They will pursue Matt Rhule. Perhaps they will pursue Indiana's coach, Kurt Cignetti. And for what he's done with the Indiana Hoosiers, now just in year two. And Kurt Cignetti and the Hoosiers head coach, he's in a unique position here because this is his first major head coaching job, first major college football head coaching job, and he's in year two with Indiana. But Kurt Cignetti's already 64 years old. So is Indiana, for where he's at in his life and in his coaching career, and he's already got new paper from the Hoosiers even before he finished his first season because he already led them to the greatest season in program history in his very first year leading the program in 2024. So is there more there for Kurt Cignetti in Indiana? He said late last season that he believes he's in the process of building a behemoth in college football. He thinks it's the next great superpower that he's on the verge of building in Bloomington there. And right now, in year two, Kurt Cignetti has Indiana football, not Indiana basketball, this bastion of basketball excellence that the Hoosiers were, and in some ways have continued to be in sort of spot duty here and there, where they've had maybe some one-off seasons or a couple of years of excellence here or there. But we know the passions and the tradition of Indiana basketball. That basketball school is now undefeated and number three in the country. And there's only three teams in the entire country that are getting first place votes in either poll right now, because the college football playoff rankings won't come out until next month in November. Those are the ones that'll truly matter. But as of right now, the Ohio State University Buckeyes are the number one team in the land in both the AP poll and the coaches poll. The Miami Hurricanes, the U, are at number two. Indiana's the number three team in the country. For those of you who haven't been paying attention, for those of you who don't know, and they're the only other team getting any first place votes in any other poll. Indiana has never been this high in any ranking in college football in the history of their football program. Kurt Cignetti is one of those names that Penn State will reportedly plan to pursue. And I know there's a whole lot of you Hoosiers fans that are within the sound of my voice, that are here in the greater Chicagoland area, very worried about whether or not Kurt Cignetti would be willing to leave. What fascinates me about this is that there is so much money that's already available to Big Ten football teams, and I don't know the answer to this yet, in whether or not there will be a diminished sort of striation between the top teams in Big Ten football, in their revenue, in their resources. Will that space between Ohio State and Rutgers, will that diminish? The space between a team like Oregon and a team like Indiana, and the Hoosiers just took down the Ducks on the field last weekend. That's why they vaulted up to number three with an impressive win on the road at Autzen Stadium. Does the money available to Indiana football, is it enough at this point where Kurt Cignetti at 64 years old doesn't really need to concern himself with other major brands having job openings in his sport, because the Hoosiers have the ability to pay him what he asked for, to pay his coordinators what he believes they're worth, to build whatever facilities he wants, to deepen the coffers of his name, image, and likeness budget, and the revenue sharing that's available within the athletic department. So players, coaches, head coach, facilities, does Kurt Cignetti already have everything he could ask for, as he right now is potentially on the cusp of Indiana football going undefeated? The last college basketball team to go through a full season, both regular season and postseason, undefeated, was Indiana in hoops. Can Indiana football actually get through a regular season undefeated? And Penn State's fired James Franklin. They've got the Nittany Lions awaiting them on their schedule. So in theory, that was going to be the only other like great team that remained for them. But now Penn State's fallen out of the rankings, and they fired James Franklin. So they got Michigan State, a resurgent UCLA team, a talented Maryland squad with one of the better freshman quarterbacks in the country, a reeling Penn State team, a reeling Wisconsin team, and then a kind of feisty Purdue team to close out. I find this as fascinating as anything, because everybody is going to continue to come calling for Kurt Cignetti. And in the not too distant past, Indiana football would have been a stepping stone to some greater opportunity. But now between the TV revenue the Big Ten brings in with the Big Ten Network and Fox Sports and everybody else, NBC, CBS, you name it. But then also there's this other private equity deal that the Big Ten as a conference is reportedly on the verge or considering striking for billions of additional dollars. So maybe Kurt Cignetti doesn't need to go anywhere to get as much, if not more money than he's ever dreamed of. It's fascinating to see where things are going here. But then on the field, the Big Ten and the college football playoff, the SEC and the college football playoff, there's going to be all kinds of conversations that continue there.
Hey, Ian, so can I ask you something?
Yeah, please.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you there. Yeah. I want to know from your perspective, how good do you think Indiana is? Because they curb stomp Illinois, and Illinois might not be as good as we thought they were. Mm. And so are they legitimate national championship contenders? If they were to match up with Ohio State, I don't have their schedule in front of me. I'm not sure if they play this year in the regular season. Could
in
they
the
beat
regular
Ohio
season,
State?
They do not.
They don't. Okay. So can they beat Ohio State, I guess is what I'm asking. Because they're, to me, still the clear national champion favorites.
Right. Ohio State is the best team in America. So between the two of them on a neutral field, I would pick Ohio State over Indiana. But that's only because I would pick Ohio State over anyone else in college football. They, to me, are the best team on paper, the best team in execution. And they're a team, like I was talking about, the Bears kind of having room to grow. That's the scary thing with Ohio State. They're playing really well, but they've kind of got it in third gear right now. They haven't even put the throttle down yet. They're not playing with tempo. They're not in attack mode with their passing attack. They're trying to figure out some different combinations on the offensive line. They've got young running backs. They've got defenders who didn't start before this season. Ohio State is kind of just in growth mode. They're like in the incubation phase still right now, and they know that. And Ryan Day is comfortable enough now because he won the national championship last year where he knows he didn't have to put the throttle down yet. That's one of the scary things about the Buckeyes. But frankly, after what I just saw Indiana do against Oregon, it's not like Indiana dominated the game against Oregon, but Autzen Stadium is one of the most difficult places in the country to play. And what was as impressive as anything about Indiana, their quarterback, Fernando Mendoza, who's played himself into being at least a day two NFL draft pick, perhaps a first round pick if things continue to progress with him. He's better than Curtis Rourke was last year for the Hoosiers. Their defense, especially their front seven, is more violent and active than they were last year. And they were good up front last year. Their offensive line is bigger and more physical than they were last season. This is a better Indiana team than the one that made the college football playoff last year and actually put up a better fight against Notre Dame than most of the other teams did in the playoff until the Irish lost to the Buckeyes in the national championship game. So Indiana was legit last year. They look even better this season. They got more horsepower at quarterback. So yeah, the Hoosiers, they're a real team. I know a lot of folks haven't necessarily spent a lot of time watching them until this past weekend. I know there's a whole lot of Indiana fans that are out there. They're in my mentions on occasion when I tweet about the Hoosiers and everything else. By the way, I'm on social media at Big Ant Heron. But whether you watch me on the Big Ten Network or you see me on social media, if you listen to me on Big Ten Radio, my morning show on Channel 372 on Sirius XM, Indiana's a real deal. They're a national championship contender. It feels weird to fix my lips to say it, but they're right there, man. They're one of the best teams in America. So it's a valid question. The answer is yes. Hoosiers are the real deal. Another real deal that we're going to discuss here next is Bobby Hebert, one of the great quarterbacks in Saints history. He's there covering New Orleans. We'll get to that conversation and get the New Orleans perspective on things as they come to Chicago to face the Bears. We'll do that next on The Score.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Skip the gym, not the workout. With Hydro, you get a full body workout in just 20 minutes, hitting 86% of your muscles in one smooth, low impact motion. And now there's a new Hydro Arc, Hydro's most advanced rower yet. Arc introduces Hydro Metrics, tracking your power, endurance, and precision every time you row, so you can actually see your progress. Go to Hydro.com and use code FIT to get $100 off any Hydro rower, including Arc. That's HYDROW.com, code FIT.
Every idea starts with a problem. Warby Parker's was simple. Glasses are too expensive. So they set out to change that. By designing glasses in-house and selling directly to customers, they're able to offer prescription eyewear that's expertly crafted and unexpectedly affordable. Warby Parker glasses are made from premium materials like impact-resistant polycarbonate and custom acetate. And they start at just $95, including prescription lenses. Get glasses made from the good stuff. Stop by a Warby Parker store near you.
Heather is a nurse practitioner from UnitedHealthcare.
We meet patients wherever they live.
During a house call, she found Jack had an issue.
Jack's blood pressure was dangerously high.
It was 217 over 110.
So they got Jack to the hospital and got him the help he needed.
He had had a stent placed in his heart, preventing a massive heart attack.
If it wasn't for my guardian angel, I wouldn't be here.
Hear more stories like Jack's at unitedhealthcare.com. Benefits, features, and/or devices vary by plan. Area limitation and exclusions apply.
He's doing a really good job. I think, when you watch it, second year tends to be a big jump. We always call it the sophomore jump or whatever you want to call it, second year jump in the NFL. And so you can tell he's just so much more comfortable. Ben's doing an awesome job of giving him, different tools, and they do a great job of schematically, getting to the best calls in some situations. And so you can tell there's a comfort level there. There's an anticipation that certainly is growing from his standpoint. And, in his back pocket, he always has the playmaking ability that he's always had going back to college. And so, it's a really challenging thing because you can feel like maybe you cover something up and he's going to make a play out of it. And then he's doing a much better job as he's gotten more experience of just playing the original play really well.
Score Evenings, weeknights 6 till 9.
That was the voice of Kellen Moore, head coach of the New Orleans Saints. Saints right now 1-5 on the season, so not the record that they would certainly hope to be putting together, but they're hopeful, just like anyone is, that they've got a young quarterback who they can figure some things out, build around, continue to progress with. I'm Anthony Herron. This is Score Evenings on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Let's go back out to the Circa Resort and Casino hotline, CircaLasVegas.com, and be joined by one of the great quarterbacks in Saints history and a man who still covers them in the media in New Orleans. He's Bobby Hebert. You can hear him in the evenings on WWL Radio down in NOLA. Bobby, what's happening? How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing all right. The Houdat Nation, we're a little optimistic going against the Bears. We got to lean upon something, simply because the Saints have won the past seven games against the Bears, and we do have, as a big enough sample size, we do have a winning record against the monsters in Midway. We've won 18 and lost 13, but they've won the past seven. But you know what? There's no Drew Brees, Sean Payton anymore.
There's no doubt about that, man. It's a different time. It is certainly a different time in New Orleans. I think it was, maybe 2008 was the last time the Bears were able to take down the Saints. Like you mentioned, they got quite the win streak going. And the folks in New Orleans, the way that things are being viewed right now, and there's a history between Caleb Williams, Spencer Rattler. They were teammates back in college at Oklahoma. And there was a period, I'm sure you're aware, Bobby, where Spencer Rattler was viewed, he plays in the All-American Bowl. I call that game for NBC every year. And when he was coming out, he was a five-star quarterback and seemingly on his way to college greatness, bounced around a little bit. But his talent has now earned the starting job in New Orleans. Still a young quarterback, though. What are your observations right now of what you've seen early in the Saints' career from Spencer Rattler?
Yeah, coming out of high school, man, he was the man. You don't get any better than him, and he's not the reason why the Saints aren't winning. I think what Spencer Rattler is proving right now, that he is the NFL quarterback. Just by what he's put on film, I mean, that's how you can make the NFL your lifestyle. I don't know about being a franchise quarterback, but he's proven enough he'll have a, I don't know, might end up being a Jacoby Brissett kind of career, where you have enough skins in the wall and you're going to get paid and become a millionaire. But I know he wants to be the man, but he's not the reason why they're not winning. If you look, he's not throwing interceptions compared to when he started playing last year. You know, quarterbacks are, you're not getting sacked. Quarterbacks are judged in their one loss record. You know, he finally got that monkey off his back by beating the Giants. But you look, last week he had a quarterback rating almost 103, and his second career start with 100-plus rating. And right now, you know, he's only one of three quarterbacks, Jalen Hurts and Baker Mayfield being the other two, with a big enough sample size, at least 150 attempts, and look, one or fewer interceptions in 2025. So he's not turning the ball over. But that'll be interesting. The game they won, the Giants kind of gave the game. They had five straight turnovers. I mean, the Saints were plus five. Well, hell yeah, the Saints should have crushed them. But they won the game. And that's why I was looking at the Bears. They can upset Chicago on the road. And how many times as of late has the Bears been a 5.5-point favorite? Well, that just shows you where the Saints are at right now with the worst record in the NFC. But the Bears being plus eight, no, the Saints will have to be in that turnover margin, plus one or plus two, then have a chance to pull off an upset. But it is so bad in NOLA right now. And if you don't get off to a fast start in the game against Chicago, this is what you don't want to do. New Orleans is the first team right now to allow back-to-back touchdowns. On the first, you know, the defense, first two defensive possessions in four straight games. You got to go back to 2000 since that happened. So if the Bears, the first two times they get the ball, if it's they've scored two touchdowns, oh, the Saints are always chasing points. And you're just not going to win. And when you look at that, it's just a very dismal point differential, how they've been outscored. I mean, it's. I want to say it's like almost like 50 points just in that first quarter. So that's going to be a key. But right now, it's like Mike Ditka dark days for the Saints. We're now 1-5. That's the worst six-game start since when Ditka was running the team in 1999. And like I said, the worst record in the NFC. So people are looking for the future right now. They still have players who could play. The trade deadline is November the 4th. Whether they want to admit this or not, they are rebuilding. You know, it's post-Drew Brees and Sean Payton. Them days are over. And so what would they do? Alvin Kamara, I mean, he still could play. He's not. He's a young 30-year-old running back, if that makes sense. DeMario Davis, I still think, a tackling machine. Where he's always around 10 or 11 tackles a game. But they're all old. Like our star players, Cam Jordan, he passed up the great Pro Football Hall of Famer Ricky Jackson as far as sacks. So they need more of these young cats contributing, you know, at a high level and providing that leadership. But if they were playing in New Orleans, I think the Saints would have a great chance to beat the Bears. But being in Chicago, I think it would be an upset.
The Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, my guest here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, one of the great players and quarterbacks in Saints history, and also working in the media down there, covering everything in New Orleans sports. He can be heard on WWL Radio in NOLA. And for the first season, I was working in television. It was early in my TV career when Kellen Moore was a quarterback at Boise State. And I remember just thinking, man, this is a tiny guy with a noodle of an arm that might be the greatest quarterback I've ever seen because of the anticipation and accuracy that he threw the ball with, the volume of offense that his coach at the time, Chris Peterson, had him running at Boise State. It was like his brain was like a microprocessor. So, even back then, I'm like, all right, he's not going to make it as a pro quarterback, but man, this dude's going to coach some football at some point. Now he's got the big whistle. He's got this opportunity to run an organization on his own. What are your observations here early in the head coaching career of Kellen Moore?
Well, they got the right coach. I don't think they got the horses. You know, I think he knows what he's doing. And you can see how he's flexible enough, how he's going to call an offense. But, you know, I said, I wish he could have brought the last year's Eagles offensive line to the Saints. and you know, then you look a lot wiser. But you know what? That's been a disappointment. The Saints offensive line, I remember looking at this in early August. They're only one of two teams. You know, what do you invest in the draft? Like, look at the New York Giants. They are getting all these defensive linemen. Well, the Saints, four out of their five players, them and the Chargers, only two teams. You know, you look at Slater, the highest paid tackle, and you look at all out of Notre Dame. Well, the Saints and the Chargers were projected starters, like beginning of training camp in August, were the only two teams that four of their five offensive linemen are first-round draft picks. Well, then, if that's what you invested in, they got to play great. And I don't know if they've even been good at times. Mm. That's really been a disappointment. Now, they hurt, but you can't use injuries as an excuse. They finally played all together, you know, last week against the Patriots. They're going to play against the Bears. But before that, they'd only played like 23 snaps together. So that's, you know, kind of when they say, well, what you invested in the draft? Well, it's the offensive line. Well, your offensive line is just, like I say, can't be good. They got to be great. And I think Alvin Kamara still got something left in the tank. Now, Kendre Miller's been a little bit of a disappointment. Here's a running back that they thought could be that 1-2 punch with Alvin Kamara. But he's been wildly inconsistent. Now, he's maturing more as an individual and a player this year. But, you know, Saints fans are hoping the only career game that Alvin Kamara had against the Bears, now that was the COVID year. He had nine catches and 163 scrimmage yards. So Alvin Kamara can still hit it and get it. So, you know, he was explosive against the Bears, and that's what Spencer Rattler needs. He needs more people around him to help him out. Chris Olave has been a disappointment. Mm-hmm. He has not been a number one receiver. I think he could be a number two receiver in the NFL, but he drops too many passes. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't come up with the contested catches. And he gets a lot of targets. He's amongst the leaders in receptions, but no yards after the catch. And I think ever since he got those concussions, I don't know, nobody really likes to get hit. But you can see him not really getting that yak. So, the Saints have a chance. Like I said, they have to be opportunistic, and they got to get off the faster starts. And I think Brandon Staley's a good defensive coordinator, very similar to Dennis Allen. You know, with the Bears, I'll look at Dennis Allen, and, you know, not everybody's going to work out as a head coach. They're not made out to be a head coach. But I think Dennis Allen, he knows what he's doing defensively, very similar to Vic Fangio. I know you're familiar with Vic Fangio.
Oh, yeah.
And then Bears, and he didn't work out as a head coach. And then you go really old school Wade Phillips. Didn't work out as a head coach, outstanding defensive coordinator. I think that's where Brandon Staley's at, but that 4-3 personnel, and they're running a 3-4. So they don't really have the players to run with Brandon Staley truly wants to run. They're very young in the secondary. They're playing a lot of young players. You know, last year, I remember in 2024 season, going to training camp, I said, I think the Saints at the cornerback position, they definitely, I think, top five in the secondary. You had Marshawn Lattimore, Paulson Adebo. Well, Adebo goes to the Giants. Lattimore gets traded to the Washington Commanders. And then all of a sudden, Alante Taylor, the young guy, he's the alpha dog. So don't be surprised, but they gave up some chunk plays. They got humbled against the Patriots. And Drake May was on fire. It'd be interesting to see what Caleb Williams is going to do. I was really impressed with Drake May's accuracy. I think at times, Caleb Williams can make all the plays, but on the simple throws, he has to be way more accurate. I think that's what's been surprising to me. Now, you know, coming out on time, you know, you cannot run backwards and extend plays in the NFL. You'll get sacked and all that. So I think his pocket presence, I think he got the right coach. to develop him. But, you know, that's within him. Can he become more accurate? That's the thing I noticed about Joe Burrow when he's at LSU and all. I look up at Drew Brees and all the top quarterbacks. I would say with Caleb Williams that I think if one thing he needs to improve on, and I don't know how you do that because sometimes either you are or you aren't, is just to be more accurate with the football, with the throws that you have to make 100% of the time.
And to see that matchup, there's so many different storylines. You mentioned some of the names. Brandon Staley, who is here. Mike Ditka, who used to be here for both franchises. And you know, it'll be fun to really watch that part of things play out. Bobby, this has been fun, man. I really appreciate you taking the time with me tonight.
Yeah, I really think if the Saints win, it will be an upset. And I think you probably would agree with this. The Bears can go on a winning streak, but I think I was reading where they haven't won four in a row since 2018 NFC North Championship. Yeah. And they closed out the regular season with four straight wins, and they also had a five-game run. So I guess they'd be cautiously optimistic. Is that a fair assessment with the Bears fans right now?
That is 100% accurate. Cautiously optimistic is the perfect way to describe it. We don't know what to do with ourselves with a three-game winning streak. If they hit four, then the world might end or something. I'm not even sure, Bobby.
Well, before I run, yeah, I have a lot of Chicago connection now. You know, my son, T-Bob Hebert, who played at LSU, you know, he's with the St. Louis Rams back in 2012, practice squad and all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
But he's now with Barstool Sports in Chicago, so I'll be going to Chi-Town a lot because I got three grandkids there now.
Oh, so, very cool.
Yeah, he's at Barstool Sports. They're on FS1 every morning. He hosts that show. And then, he hadn't had a Chicago winter yet, so I told him the Saints have an open date. I think I'm going only in November. I said, T-Bob, I won't be visiting you in January, February. I'm just telling you right now.
Yeah, they're doing big things at Barstool. There's no doubt about that, man. Well, thanks a lot, Bobby. And like you mentioned, Chicago's awesome. Yeah, get a little chilly certain times of the year. But I'm sure the Chicago winters, notwithstanding, the city will love to receive you, man. We'll see you soon.
All right. Talk to you later. Take care. Food.
Bobby Hebert representing Who Dat Nation and getting some shout out there to his son T-Bob. Yeah, that's a fun conversation we have with Bobby Hebert. And when we come back, we'll keep the Bears conversation rolling, but you'll hear some more from Bears head coach Ben Johnson on both sides of the rock. As we close out this edition of Score Evenings, I'm Anthony Herron. More to come on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Skip the gym, not the workout. With Hydro, you get a full body workout in just 20 minutes, hitting 86% of your muscles in one smooth, low impact motion. And now there's a new Hydro Arc, Hydro's most advanced rower yet. Arc introduces Hydro Metrics, tracking your power, endurance, and precision every time you row, so you can actually see your progress. Go to Hydro.com and use code FIT to get $100 off any Hydro rower, including Arc. That's HYDROW.com, code FIT.
What makes a great pair of glasses? At Warby Parker, it's all the invisible extras without the extra cost. Their designer quality frames start at $95, including prescription lenses, plus scratch-resistant, smudge-resistant, and anti-reflective coatings, and UV protection, and free adjustments for life. To find your next pair of glasses, sunglasses, or contact lenses, or to find the Warby Parker store nearest you, head over to warbyparker.com. That's warbyparker.com.
United Healthcare nurse Crystal checked in on a patient.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell in her voice that she was struggling.
Crystal knew she needed help.
And I knew that this is very serious. This is like septic. This is life-threatening.
And she knew just what to do.
And I called the hospital and said, she's coming in. Here are her labs.
And got her the help she needed.
I see my role at United Healthcare as a life-saving role.
Hear more stories like Crystal's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
You're listening to Score Evenings, weeknights 6 to 9.
Coming down the stretch on this Wednesday edition of Score Evenings on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. I'm Anthony Herron. My guy Adam Studzinski on the ones and twos for me throughout the evening tonight. And wanted to let you know that you can tune in tomorrow night, that is, as the Bulls continue their preseason against the Timberwolves. Chuck Swirsky and Bill Winnington will be on the call from the United Center. Pregame coverage begins at 6:45, tip-off at 7 right here on 670 The Score. Now that hoop season has begun, I got my 8-year-old son. We're trying to make sure we get him enrolled in a basketball team here. He's just finished up he's finished up his baseball season. He's going to finish up his soccer season coming up this Saturday. Then the hoopage will begin, maybe some swim teams. We're trying to find the youth swim team to get him in around there because he looks like he swims really fast, but it's hard to say because he's not actually racing anybody. He's got these powerful little legs. But basketball season is upon us. I was actually up in Rosemont last week for Big Ten basketball media days. The Wednesday was the women up there in Rosemont. Thursday was the men up in Rosemont. It's good to talk to Chris Collins up there about the Northwestern basketball season, Brad Underwood about the Illini and all the international flavor he's got going with things. So fun hoop season on the college side and the National Basketball Association side of things too. But wanted to let you hear a little bit more from Ben Johnson before I got out of here tonight. And one of the fun storylines for the Bears this season that continues to develop is with this left tackle situation. And I feel it behooves me to start off just talking about Braxton Jones for a moment and the fact that he had that really ugly leg injury to finish out last season, that ended his last season at least, and recovered from it much more quickly than most folks anticipated. I was talking about it a bit on Bears Unleashed on Friday with Luke Kanellis and Cassie Carlson, just the fact that, you know, he put every effort into getting back as quickly as he could, and he was able to make that happen. Now, I have a hard time believing he's kind of fully back to 100%, you know, quote-unquote 100%, whatever that is for Braxton Jones physically, but he was willing to lay it on the line, attacked rehab, and got healthy enough to play and to start in the National Football League. But an offensive line is a unit that struggled, certainly at times through those first few games. Braxton Jones, a part of those struggles. They took the bye week, made the decision to give Theo Benedict his first start at left tackle. And Ben Johnson was asked about Theo Benedict and the way that getting that first start at left tackle and the way his confidence is now showing that it's growing.
I thought he's done a really solid job for us. I think the biggest compliment I could probably give him last week is I didn't feel him out there, which as a play caller, that's what you're normally doing is, hey, why is a play breaking down? And if it's a particular person, then you're looking to help them out somehow, some way. And I never felt that last week with him. And so I think the confidence is growing. I think his confidence is growing with his ability to perform in this league. And I think our confidence with him continues to grow as well.
I mean, there is understandable hesitation to put an undrafted second-year pro. I mean, you know, he's listed as a first-year player, but he's not a rookie, but he didn't play as a rookie. And so they don't list you immediately as being your second year because it's his first year on the active roster. This will be Theo Benedict's first accrued season in the NFL. So he's listed as a first-year pro, even though he's not a rookie. But it can be difficult to truly entrust the left tackle position, and it's rare to see the left tackle position entrusted to someone with Theo Benedict's resume. But his story is probably a part of where the Bears have now instilled that confidence in him. What's up with Theo Benedict's story, Ben?
he tucked away in Canada there. So it's it's you can overlook some guys like that. And I was in Detroit, and we ended up when I was there drafting one of his teammates in the fourth round. And you know, those guys can be found, but you got to do a really good job of making sure that your scouting department is on top of things. I think Ryan and his crew did a phenomenal job identifying Theo. He had a lot of traits that you really liked, and athleticism, and I think that's really translated. But more so than anything else, I think he's just wired the right way, and a lot of times that's hard to gauge when you're evaluating prospects is you're getting to know them, you try to bring them in the building, and you know, you only have a day, or you only at the combine 15 minutes in a formal to try to dive into that. And it's in an inexact science, as we all know. There's a lot of misses when it comes to player acquisition. But I do believe this, that he's wired the right way. And that's why he's been able to take his raw tools and talent and take coaching and get better last year on the practice squad, and then this year since we've been in the building.
It's been impressive to watch the rise of Theo Benedict. Frankly, like, it was impressive to watch the rise of Braxton Jones as a fifth-round pick to end up starting as a rookie and start as many games as he did in recent years for the Bears. And now kind of the latest version of Braxton Jones is now Theo Benedict, able to earn the nod to start at left tackle. And he does have legitimate physical tools. Pretty big body, just over 300 pounds, 6'7 frame. Bends really well, nimble on his feet, and really aggressive. Drives his legs well on contact in the run game. So we'll see. You know, we'll see how that continues to sort of be utilized and maybe even flourish moving forward. Going to be a different challenge against Cam Jordan this week. Brian Brzee, other guys they got on the edge. See a little bit of Chase Young out there now as he's getting healthy. So we'll see. But it's his position now, at least for the immediate future. My immediate future takes me off the air with you this evening. It has been a fun Wednesday night. Next time you'll hear me on The Score will be this Sunday. I'll be hosting the post-post show after the post-game show finishes up with Mully and the crew. I'll be on the post-post show after the Bears finish up with the Saints. Be back on The Score next week. I have my Monday show, my Monday appearance with the Midday folks, and then I'll be on with Speaks filling in for Lawrence on Tuesday. But for now, that's all I got for you. My thanks to Bruce Levine, to Caitlin Sharkey, and to Bobby Hebert. Thanks to my guy Studs, Adam Studzinski, on the other side of the glass for me this evening. And as always, appreciations, salutations to all of you listening in to the all-powerful Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Can I finish? Please, can I finish? Okay, I'm finished.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
UnitedHealthcare nurse Crystal checked in on a patient.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell in her voice that she was struggling.
Crystal knew she needed help.
And I knew that this is very serious. This is like septic. This is life-threatening.
And she knew just what to do.
And I called the hospital and said, she's coming in. Here are her labs.
And got her the help she needed.
I see my role at UnitedHealthcare as a life-saving role.
Hear more stories like Crystal's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you. Ooh. Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.